brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you in that name that is above every other name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because Jesus is indeed Lord over all. And despite the attempts of people all over the world to rise to positions of power, there is a God above everything, and He is called the King of Kings. He is called the Lord of Lords. So in Him, for the child of God, we live and move and have our being. We are subjects of the eternal kingdom that has no end. We are children of light and truth. We are grounded and rooted in Him, and in Him is how we exist in our time on the earth. So we've been brought into this paradigm, into this reality at such a time as this, for His reasons, His purposes, for His good pleasure. And this is important to keep this in mind, because in the end, even though we have emotions and feelings and all these other things that are part of our own personal experiences, ultimately this is all about Him. This is about our Father. That's why we've also been taught to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We've got to yield our free will to His. We've got to make that decision and to make that choice as free will agents, to choose to submit to the kingdom of God and to let His will be our will. Just like Jesus said, you know, I only do what I see the Father doing. He also said, I only speak the words I get from the Father. So, and He also told us that you need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. He also said that when you are put on trial for me, don't worry about what you're going to say ahead of time, because the Spirit's going to basically speak through you in those situations. What do you think's happening here? Whenever God gives us the unction to turn it on, turn on the recorder, then we do, and His Spirit speaks through. I was talking to somebody recently that was asking me about this, and basically it's just a yielding to the Spirit, and then God flows through to do what He wants to. You know, so often if I want to know, I've got to go back and listen to these myself, because it's not something that I can do apart from Him. It's something that He flows through, and very often I'll listen to these messages and I'll receive from them as well. Because it's just, basically, here it is. It's just us yielding to Him. It's us yielding to His Spirit. And when we're in that place, all things flow and move, and there's peace in Him. There's a foundation in Him. There's an assurance in Him. And even the desires and the things that are God-given in your heart and in your life, but those have a way to be brought to fruition in His way, in His timing, in His plan, in His purpose, not in and of yourself. Because see, here's the thing. When you have a desire in and of yourself, but it's not yielded to the Spirit of God, that is something that the enemy will use as a snag and a snare for your soul. So, example, Luke chapter 4, Jesus was offered by the devil all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now, the devil knew that Jesus was born to be the king. He knew the prophecies that were there. And so ultimately what he says, and Jesus, even within himself, you know, he knew that he was destined to be what God, what the intention was, what the scripture said he was, what God had designed for him to be while he was here on the earth, and his passing through and all of that. And the enemy offered him the shortcut. And he said, hey, here, listen, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All you got to do is just bow down and worship me. Small little fine print, we won't even tell anybody. It's just going to be between you and me, Jesus, right? No, but the thing is, in the realm of the Spirit, all things are seen, all things are known. This is the eternal reality of what it is. And if he would have done that, submitted to that system, put himself under the authority of the world and the prince of the power of the air. That was it. And he would have gotten all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. But what, even as Jesus said, what is a profit of man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? So he would have gotten everything that the world had to offer, and yet he would have forfeited who he was, and the core of who his being would have been lost. But there was a desire, because Jesus is the king, and he came to set up and establish his throne. He came to put, he was that rock that was caught, cut out of the mountain without human hands, that came and smashed that idol and the vision and the dream of in Daniel chapter 3. And he is that fulfillment. Grew and filled the whole earth. He is that cornerstone. He is the truth. My gosh. All of this just grows and fills the whole earth. But he had that desire was within him. And the enemy knew. And he wanted to see, can I snag him on this? Is there any place within him that he is not yielded? Is there anything in him? You remember when they were coming to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Jesus even told them that this is going to happen? And he said, you know, This is their hour. But they have nothing in me. They had nothing in Jesus. He was completely yielded to the Father's will. He was 100% given over to what God intended, what God desired. And in that place, there was freedom. And in that place, there was a yielding to the will of the Father, despite the struggles that he faced in his own humanity. And listen, brothers and sisters, we face struggles in our own humanity. We have desires in our own humanity. We have we sense and pick up on other people's stuff. Yes, all of that is there. But when you yield to the Spirit of the living God, that is your place of freedom. That is your place of peace. That is the point where you can walk in and be in I Am rather than in yourself. You don't want to be trying to do this stuff in yourself. Listen, the arm of flesh will fail you. But God keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. God keeps us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. You can go all day with these. All day. Because the words are there. The scriptures are there. The promises are there. The truth is there. Your life is there in Him. And in Him, that is where you're engrafted into. So with the frustrations and with the struggles and with the things that go on, listen, we're not like the world. We're not like the worlders, who the pagans in this world, who for them, their entire lives are about what they can eat and drink and what they can put on and their latest escapades and their nefarious activities and all that. I mean, it's just distraction, people whistling on the deck of the Titanic while the whole thing is sinking. No, that's not us. Listen, you've been taken, brothers and sisters, by the power and the living God and your free will to follow Him. You've been taken from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And as that's happened in you, the enemy then has tried to take you back, to try to get you of your free will, to go back to the other side, to try to seduce you back in, to try to bludgeon you back in, to try to test you back in, to try to offer you all those things, because the enemy can't afford to lose souls, because He requires your soul and that which is in you, the creative power of the living God, to create the world system in the first place. Listen, the world was made, the world system. Listen, God, when God created the world, Not the world system, but the world, when he set up the world and put all of this in place, that was his creative power creating a paradigm and a reality. When the enemy came in and corrupted it to create the world system, which is different than the world system, when the enemy did that, he created that how? Not by himself, because he has no power to create in and of himself. So how did he create it? He created it through man and through woman. Through Adam and Eve. That was the beginning of the creation of the world system. To corrupt and then to create out of and through them. And the enemy has been creating and building his world system since that time. Through what? Through the free will of man and woman that give themselves over to that system. What does it profit you to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? Why? Because it requires your soul. Because that's what they build it out of. It's built out of the souls of men and women. No one has gone to that side and not lost. The world is built on losers. The world system is built on losers, not winners. You don't win when you go with the enemy. You lose. You lose the very core of who you are. And they just gut you and just put a... You're just a shell. You know, I recently had a chance to see some people perform. And I could see this one person performing. And there was... The person... They're just so broken. And there's a demon animating that person. That was the performance. I'm just watching this, seeing this, wondering if other people see what I see. But that person's hardly even there anymore. I actually prayed for that performer. I just pray that God would be merciful and bring that person out of the bondage, because that person's just so broken. Listen, when you go the way of the world, you're the enemy uses that creative power within you to create and to continue to perpetuate his system. And the system is designed and set up to what? Block out the light and to trap souls and to keep people from ever coming to a knowledge of the truth. And to give people all kinds of distractions and things just to keep them in. Because they can't afford to lose that power that's within you. Because the power that's within you is in the image and the likeness of God. God put that in you. And because also, here's another thing too. The enemy can't get God, right? He already tried. And in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, you see the stories of where the enemy in his own head thought, oh, okay, I'm going to be like God. That didn't work out so well. He got thrown down. And he fell. And in the fall, there was no way for him to go back. There was no redemption found for him and for the fallen angels. So what did the enemy then do? Well, we were made in God's image and God's likeness. So if he can't get to us, he'll get at his children. Oh, the enemy hates children. And if he can't get to you, he goes after your kids. He'll go after the children. He will. For the child of God, there's something inside of us that compels us to have ethics and morals and to try to do things the right way. And that's not the way the enemy works. There is nothing. Listen. When Herod heard of the birth of Christ from the wise men that were traveling, after the wise men went back because they were warned in a dream, he instructed the soldiers to go kill all the children 2 years old and younger. I mean, they went through and basically just slaughtered all the kids. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? All the children in that city were slaughtered, 2 years old and younger. just wiped out an entire gap of kids in a 2-year span. So if you think that the enemy of your soul, the devil, is not willing to do the most heinous, barbaric things imaginable to try to keep his lock on power, then you are sadly mistaken, my friends. Which is why, listen, you battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Which is why greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Which is why when you're rooted and grounded in truth and in the authority that you have in Christ Jesus, you can speak and things happen and you can intervene and things change. Listen, if unchecked, the world would completely self-destruct and explode. They would, because they destroy themselves. Listen, by blocking out the light, if a plant does not receive any light from the sun, the plant dies. When the irony is that the world and the world system, like a cancer that continues to grow, eventually there's if there's no pushback, if there's no balance, if there's no righting of the wrongs, if there's no justice, if there's nothing that intervenes, then there's nothing left if the whole thing gets destroyed, if the whole thing gets consumed in just this unbridled where there's nothing left. Nothing left to redeem. So, you know, God puts us here in the middle of this situation because he's got a purpose. I mean, Jesus came into hostile territory when he came into this world. And God maneuvered him. The angels were there. They ministered unto him. There was many, many, many things that were going on. But God gave us an example in Christ of how we can walk and move and live life here on the earth. And we do, and we did, and we have, and we will. But it's not according to your purposes. It's not according to your will. It's not according to your desires. It's according to his will, his purposes, his kingdom come, his will be done. The cool thing is you find that as you yield yourself to his will, you find out that you find your fulfillment in that. You find your fulfillment in completing the reason and the purpose for which God made you in the first place. And you won't find it apart from him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. So you will not find it apart from him. So you want to move in that. You want to continue forward in the truth. You want to know the power of his life and love flowing through you without trying to do things the world's way. Listen, it's a trap what the world offers you. Jesus showed that. It was a trap. What the world offers you is a trap and it is a snare for your soul. Now, okay, if, say you've got certain things and you've got certain opportunities in front of you, you've got certain position in life, certain resources, whatever they may be. What do you do with that? Well, part of what you do with that is you put it all before the Lord. And you say, Father God, here it is. Your scriptures say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So all of it belongs to you. So I accept the truth of your word. I accept the reality of Psalm 23 and Psalm 24, which says that I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I accept the reality of the fact that this whole thing is yours, and all belongs to you. And I am, as a child of God, I'm going back to the intended purpose of us in this life. I am a steward of your resource, whatever it may be that you've put into my hand, into my care. So, Lord, that resource, those assets, those things, these opportunities, this work, whatever it may be, Father, I want to please give me the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to be a good steward of that which you have put in my trust and in my care. And help me, Lord God, to walk in step with you. You know what? You do that and God will bless that. You know where God did that before? When God blessed that before? It was with Solomon. When Solomon was made king, he was young. And what was his prayer? Because God appeared to him and said, Solomon, ask me for whatever you want. And what did Solomon pray? He said, Lord God, he said, how can I govern these people that you've given me? He said, you know what? And he could have asked him for anything. He could have asked God for anything. And what did he ask him for? He asked him for an understanding heart. He asked him for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding heart so that he could be a good ruler. And what did God do? God blessed him with wisdom. God blessed him with knowledge. God blessed him with understanding. God was pleased with his request. And because he didn't ask him for riches or for the death of his enemies or for all these other things that he could have asked him for, but or long life, or he could have asked him for anything. But because he asked him for something that was in line with God's plan and purpose, God blessed him with the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that he asked for. Plus, on top of that, all these other things flowed as well. And Solomon is known and will always be known as the richest man that ever lived, because he was. And but it wasn't just that. He had all these other things. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, here you have somebody that had it all, that then maxes it all out and shows what at the conclusion of the matter. So, which is to fear the Lord and keep his commandments, for this is the sole duty of man, because God will bring all things into judgment, whether they be good or evil. So that's the conclusion of the matter, is that once you've had it all and you've seen it all and you've tried it all, you've tasted it all, the one thing that you've realized is everything in the world is but vanity, and the only thing that matters is to fear the Lord and keep his commandments, to walk with him, to know his voice, to be what God made you to be, because God's going to bring everything into judgment. He's going to bring it all. He knows the intentions of people's hearts. They're not going to fool him. They're not going to be political with him. They're not going to whitewash things to him. No, he can see, because that's what we said. This is in the realm of the spirit. All things are known. All things are revealed. All things are laid bare. So, that being the case, you want to walk in truth and know that God's brought us into this mix such time as this. Pray. Trust and know that God is with you. And with that, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Always love to hear from you guys. All right. Hey, God bless you. We'll talk to you sometime soon. All right. Bye.